Lynn Stewart is a New York attorney long known for radical politics and taking unpopular cases. She's been on trial since June, charged with helping her client, an Egyptian sheikh convicted of terrorism, pass a message to a terrorist group. She is also charged with violating a government agreement that forbids the sheikh from communicating from prison. After 9 days of testimony by Lynn Stewart, it is not so much what happened that is in question, but what it means. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
Think of the Japanese film Rashomon. An event is seen from different perspectives. Many details are the same, but the meaning is different. Few dispute that Lynn Stewart violated the letter of a court agreement. But did she intend to allow her client, Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman, to communicate with a terrorist network? Rahman was convicted in 1995 of inciting followers to blow up New York landmarks. Dan Richmond, a law professor at Fordham Law School and a former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, says the heart of the case is
whether we are going to allow somebody to use the cloak of attorney privilege to violate the law and create a dangerous terrorism-related situation.
Lynn Stewart argues she was merely giving the sheikh the representation any client deserves. What did Lynn Stewart actually do? The main charge is that she passed a message to a reporter saying that Sheikh Rahman had withdrawn his support for a ceasefire between the Egyptian government and some of his followers. These included members of an organization known as the Islamic Group, which the U.S. government classifies as a terrorist organization. Ron Kuby, a civil rights attorney who once also defended Sheikh Rahman, says it's not as if Stewart ran out of the prison with his message and dialed a cell phone.
Boop, 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 boop. Ahmed, Ahmed, the sheikh says the drunken monkey sings at midnight. Be ready in Sector R. That would be transmitting clandestine messages, plans of attack, and the like. That's not what she did. She spoke to Reuters.
But Professor Dan Richmond says the sheikh's words were like orders to his followers. How do you make someone who is in prison available to a terrorist group?
Well, you make them available by getting out their word and providing some sort of avenue of communication between them and their followers.
The government argues you should think of this like a mafia case, where a lawyer might sign an agreement not to allow a mob leader in prison to communicate in case he orders a hit on the outside. But with terrorism, the stakes are higher. But Stewart counters that this situation is different. She argues that the call to withdraw the ceasefire was for talk, not action.
To give out a press release saying, let's reconsider the ceasefire because all our guys are in jail, let's reconsider keeping silent about the excesses of the government when they're still arresting people and executing teenagers, that to me is pure politics. It's not a thing to do with calling for armed intervention or telling people to pick up the gun.
As for violating an agreement to prevent the sheikh's communication with the outside, Lynn Stewart says her duty to her client was paramount, that the sheikh was held in appalling conditions. He was in solitary confinement, blind and diabetic, and communicating his situation to the outside world was essential. Civil rights lawyer Ron Kuby says it's clear Stewart violated a technical jail rule, but in 2000, when these charges were brought against her, before 9/11, violating a jail rule would have been nothing special. He and others often violated such rules in the past.
If we got caught, as sometimes we did, maybe we'd be banned from the jail for a period of 6 months, or at the very worst, there'd be a disciplinary complaint. In the Bush-Ashcroft era, though, that violation of jail rules has been transformed into aiding and abetting terrorism.
But U.S. attorneys in New York were familiar with terrorism before 9/11. They had prosecuted the 1993 World Trade Center bombing case and in 1995 had convicted Sheikh Rahman in the plot to destroy New York landmarks. Dan Richmond says prosecutors understood the situation with terrorism before the rest of America and were simply ahead of the curve.
We now have finally come to the recognition, and it's rather belated, that we are at risk. So if the message goes out that we're not going to tolerate this in the future from lawyers involved with terrorist groups, I say great.
At bottom, Lynn Stewart says her case is about protecting the attorney-client relationship.
If we allow the government to listen in on our conversations, to say to us, you represent a dangerous client, you must operate in such and such a way, at the end of the day, no one who calls a defense lawyer will really be able to be confident that that lawyer represents his or her interests and no one else's.
But prosecutors say if Lynn Stewart objected to the rules, she should have litigated them, not violated them. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.